Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All guests appear on the Dialpad guest line, and Peter King is brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Visit friedmansappliance.com. 95.7 The Game NFL Insider, NBCSports.com. He needs no introduction, but I give him one anyways. Peter King. Here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Peter, it is really good to have you back on. And since we talked to you last, the 49ers flexed a level of defensive muscle that has everybody staring at them. I mean, it was a dominant day in Los Angeles.
And I think that and a few other things basically caused the Los Angeles Rams to, in essence, knuckle to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Demands. I had heard in the last week or so that the Jaguars were telling everybody, we understand that this might only be for a year and a half, but if you want Jalen Ramsey, you better come with two ones or a one and an excellent player, the equivalent of another one. And that's exactly what happened. The Rams in the last half hour have traded two ones and a four for Ramsey, which, look, I was told a long time ago at the start of this process that Jalen Ramsey is not going to sign a new contract with whoever trades for him, if anybody did, because he wanted to see what was out there in free agency. And I don't mean to be getting too far ahead of ourselves, but just let's remember one thing. If Jalen Ramsey plays the rest of this year, if his back miraculously heals in the last 10 minutes, so he'll play at least the end of this year, and then he'll play the fifth year of his original contract. And so basically you're going to see Jalen Ramsey be a free agent in 2021. But what else you're going to see in 2021 is that the NFL and the Players Association are very likely going to negotiate a new contract, a new collective bargaining agreement then. I hear all these reports, all these rumors that, hey, the owners want to get this done by Thanksgiving. It's laughable. They're not getting any contract done by Thanksgiving. They're just not doing it. The players know that if they do a deal early, that is to the huge advantage of the owners. So they're not going to do it unless they get some ridiculous deal, which I don't see happening. But what that means, essentially, is that Jalen Ramsey would be a free agent in a year when a free agent football player might not have any more to be subject to the franchise tag. Players do not want the franchise tag in the next CBA. We'll see what happens. I don't know if it'll occur or if it won't. But if there is no franchise tag in 2021, then Jalen Ramsey will be a kajillionaire. And so that's why, unless the Rams are willing to pay him a ridiculous sum of money, far beyond what the highest paid corner in the game would get right now, I believe that Jalen Ramsey plans to play this year and next, and then we'll wait and see what happens with the new CBA negotiation in 2021.
What does this trade do for the price of any other relatively elite player? Does it make everything minimum first-round pick, or is this such an outlier that general managers will discard it when they're looking to value their own players or players they want to get?
Ray, it all depends where you are in your contract and how much money you're worth. I mean, let's talk for a second, even though I don't think he'll be traded, about Stephon Diggs. Okay, Stephon Diggs, including this year, has 4 years and about $37 million left on his contract. I mean, that's an incredibly team-friendly contract if somebody were to trade for Stephon Diggs. Now, Jalen Ramsey, so in other words, you would get, I think, very good value. You'd probably get, if it was a bad team, a high two, or if it's a good team, like New England, probably either like a two and a three or a one for a guy like Stephon Diggs. But Jalen Ramsey's different, and I think most other players who are traded right now are not going to be as starry as Jalen Ramsey and play a position of such incredible need. I mean, think of what has happened to the Rams right now, Ray. The Rams basically in the last 24 hours have been denuded of both of their excellent corners, Aqib Talib being placed on IR and Marcus Peters being traded to Baltimore. And, you know, look, when Marcus Peters got traded to Baltimore, I just said to myself, something is happening. Something is up. I texted somebody who would know, and it's about 6:20 Eastern time, you know, after that other trade went down, and I said, are the Rams, because it just made too much sense. The Rams being a desperate team right now, being in a major funk right now, it just made too much sense to trade for a guy who has at times been the best corner in football, but really wasn't playing like it this year. You know, the Rams have to hope that a change of scenery is going to make Jalen Ramsey a great football player again. He was in a major funk because he didn't want to be in Jacksonville. So, I mean, that's a long way of saying to your answer, I think Jalen Ramsey absolutely, totally is an outlier.
As far as what this next 2 weeks is going to look like, Peter, is it fair to say that maybe this will be a even more active trade deadline, because there's a lot of teams who you could argue are in a position to unload talent in an effort to actually get better?
I mean, look, I guess if you looked at, I mean, the player who is on the horizon right now, unless Washington continues to be the dumbest organization in the recent history of sports, and I mean all sports, not just football, in not even listening to offers for Trent Williams. Here's a guy who's 31 years old. He's a left tackle. He's missed 15 games in the last 4 years because of injury. And you're not even taking calls about him. You won't even talk to people about him. Bruce Allen's a dinosaur. You know, he is, if Daniel Snyder wanted to win, He would give Bruce Allen a gold watch, said, thank you for your years of service in putting a mediocre team on the field at best. I'm now going to get somebody who cares about winning. But they're apparently not going to do that. What they should do in the next 2 weeks is trade Trent Williams somewhere and hope and pray that they could still get a one for him, although I'm dubious about whether they might be able to. We'll see.
Peter King here on 95.7. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off, Peter.
One interesting thing, though, I would say just in general about the trade market, what I like about these modern general managers, Les Snead, Dave Caldwell, Eric DaCosta in Baltimore, Les Snead with the Rams, obviously, Caldwell in Jacksonville, these guys are not married to the old-time guys, where guys like Bill Polian and John Butler and a slew of sort of old-time guys. And I'm not killing them. I'm just saying that the new breed really doesn't give a crap about draft. They care about draft choices. But look at what Les Snead just did. He traded 2 ones for a guy he might only have for a year and a half. He says, we want to win now. And so I applaud that. I think it's a great way to approach team building.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Will the Rams' decision to do this deal embolden John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan to get aggressive on the trade market as well, leaning towards wide receiver?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but I think the 49ers are in a position of power right now and are in a position where they basically can, if they choose, sit out this trading deadline. Now, I would like to know what receivers are going to be out on the market and what they would fetch. Let's say a Devontae Parker in in Miami, who is a an above average but certainly not great receiver. You know, would John Lynch right now give a two for Devontae Parker? Because I feel like the Dolphins might trade Devontae Parker, but only if they could get like a top 50 pick, or what they felt would be like a top 50, top 55 pick. I mean, that's one thing. The more obvious guy for a team to go get, and I still think it's going to be the New England Patriots, is Mohamed Sanu of the Atlanta Falcons. He's a Rutgers guy. If you went to Rutgers, you can walk into the New England Patriots and start on Sunday, even if you were the team manager. They love Schiano guys. And, you know, look that up on Google. Greg Schiano, Rutgers, Bill Belichick, and you'll see a very, very close relationship. And a lot of Rutgers guys ended up going to the Patriots. And I think that Mohamed Sanu is probably most likely to be traded off a bad Atlanta team. He is the best above-average receiver, in my opinion, to likely go somewhere before the trading deadline.
Peter, what about Kyle Shanahan's connection to Sanu?
I mean, obviously he knows him well. I mean, if this were Taylor Gabriel, I don't think Shanahan would have done it. But I do think that even though he's in Chicago now, but I do think that Shanahan would be very interested in Mohamed Sanu. The question is going to be compensation, because Mohamed Sanu is not a number one receiver. He's probably not a two. So the question
makes him the perfect niner, by the way, because they don't have a
because they got a bunch of threes.
Yeah,
but he would definitely add to their stable, and I would like to have him on the team. But the question is, I mean, I just have a feeling. I'm just telling you, I think New England is lurking. They feel pretty sure right now that Rob Gronkowski is not coming back. So they need to go out, and I believe that you're going to see the Patriots try. I'm not saying they will. I think they're going to try to get both a tight end and a wide receiver sometime in the next 14 days. The Bucs say they're not trading O.J. Howard, but I mean, we'll see what happens. I think O.J. Howard, at the right price, can be had. And I think the other guy to watch out for now is Austin Hooper, the Atlanta Falcons. I think if somebody offers a two, I think the Falcons, basically, if you give a two, you can have Austin Hooper or Mohamed Sanu. And I think they're going to wait for teams to go out and try to do that.
You said something earlier that caught my ear.
Is brilliant?
I don't know yet. Let's decide on your answer here. That the younger general managers are less inclined to hoard high draft picks if they can win right now by moving them. Is that general managers thinking that, or is that general managers being told by owners, win now because I don't know how much future I'm going to stomach with you?
No, I think it is really looking at some of the moves that have been made in the last 12 months. Let's look at some of the really big moves that have been made by teams. The Houston Texans, and they were widely derided for this, and history may look back at this and say, what a stupid trade. To trade two ones two ones and a three, two ones and two, I forget. But they trade two ones plus something for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. And they were just ripped for doing that. But watch the Houston Texans play right now. Two consecutive weeks without a sack for Deshaun Watson. And last year he was sacked every 10 minutes. So I kind of look at what the Houston Texans did, and I say, okay, we could kill them for over-trading for a 25-year-old left tackle. I'm not sure I would kill them at all, and I said it at the time. I don't think this is a dumb trade for them. But now the Rams trading two ones for Ramsey, even though they're not sure exactly how much time they're going to have with him. I mean, we can talk about all the other ones. You know, John Schneider has made a history of making big deals and getting rid of guys and getting guys on. You look at what Les Snead has done, you know, with the support of Kevin Demoff with the Rams. I mean, they have been incredibly aggressive. So, and to me, I look at it all, and I just see teams that are out to win now and will worry about tomorrow, and it used to never be like that. I think it's great.
What's interesting about that, though, is I think usually when you say that phrase, tomorrow means 2 or 3 years down the road. For what the Rams just did, that's next year. Because Jared Goff, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Ramsey, none of them can be cut because the dead money is way too big. And that's five guys with $108.75 million of cap next year.
But it's okay because think about this. The cap next year is going to be about $200 million. It's $188.2 this year. It's been going up $11 million or so.
So more than half on five guys, though.
It is a huge cap on five guys. But I'll say two things. Number one, there's no reason why those, at least one or two of those contracts, cannot be redone, cannot be restructured. And team after team after team does that every year. So just because that's what's up now, it doesn't mean that's what's going to be the situation come April. I would say that's one thing. I think the one other thing to realize is that, you know, the Rams have told a lot of their have inferred to a lot of the agents who work with them and all that that they're not going to be into giving many more huge contracts. You can't these days. So in other words, now there has to be a healthy middle class that is willing to play right now for the Rams. And that's why, to me, when I look at guys like, I think Robert Woods in some markets might be a $17 million receiver after how he's played. But I don't think he will ever be that, you know, with the Rams. Even though he redid his deal, I don't believe long term they view him as a guy who they want to pay top receiver money to.
Peter King on 95.7 The Game. So the 49ers dismantled a Sean McVay offense in a way that Sean McVay's never really had it taken apart on him before. We saw how good they were, the Niners defense, on third down, on fourth down. They destroyed time of possession. And they've got all the things going for them that teams of consequence want to see going for them. And if Garoppolo just comes along for the ride and stops making critical mistakes, who do you like right now, Peter, in the NFC is clearly a better team than the Niners? Because, I mean, clearly better than the Niners? I think it's the Patriots. They're an outlier.
I think the only team right now that would be better than the Niners, but it would be very close, is the Saints with Drew Brees in 3 weeks. I think they would be better just because the quarterback is an all-timer. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I really do think, is going to be a top 10 quarterback, but he isn't right now. So that's the only team. Now, if, you know, I'm going to put an asterisk on that. Because if you had asked me 5 days ago, before the games of week six, what team out there right now would give the New England Patriots today the best game? What team in the NFL, not just in the AFC, what team in the NFL would give the Patriots the best game? I would have said the Green Bay Packers. Because, you know, to me, the Packers, even without Devontae Adams, have a great all-time quarterback and have one of the top three or four pass rushes in football. But after last night, when Allison went down and when they're absolutely at the bottom of the barrel in their receiver core for who knows how long, I'm not sure I would say that anymore. They are a mistake-prone team right now because they're so incredibly injured. So right now I would say Down the road, I would say the Saints with Breeze, and the 49ers and the Packers will be bunched together as the teams that, in my opinion, you know, two of those teams are going to play for the NFC Championship. And one of those teams, obviously, I think is going to be the team that will advance to the Super Bowl from the AFC. But our opinions change so much every week, as you guys see. I mean, look at what happens every week in this league. You know, we just came off a week where the Niners played and sort of manhandled the Cleveland Browns. And everybody said, well, you know, if somehow, some way, they might be able to beat the Rams, you know, who are very rested and the Niners are not rested and all that stuff. And then you watch the game and you say, man, it's surprising they didn't win 35-6 or something, you know. Things change very fast in the NFL. And I guess I would look at this right now and just say the 49ers are basically a growth stock right now. I want to buy the 49ers right now. But there's also two all-time quarterbacks who have very good defenses and on a given day can beat anybody, including New England, by double digits, and that's Green Bay and New Orleans. So we just don't know.
And Seattle's quarterback ain't half bad either, and they look pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, we're eliminating Seattle, and the only reason that I didn't mention Seattle is because I just don't think their defense
agreed.
As good as the other.
Agreed, it's not. As far as Jimmy G, though, you said you expect him to be a top 10 quarterback, but he's not right now. So I would ask you, when and what does he have to do to get there?
Who knows? I mean, no one knows. What's he started, 15 games in his NFL career?
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a star-crossed, weird career with some magical karma and some karma that has been awful. So I can't tell you that. It's like, how do you know when a quarterback is going to turn it around? I mean, I think right now, if I'm not mistaken, I think that Baker Mayfield has started 20 games. I was telling somebody in Cleveland today, will you stop judging him after every start? He's pretty good. I don't know. Maybe he is going to be this guy who throws 11 interceptions in 6 weeks or whatever it is. Six weeks. I don't know, but there's a lot about Baker Mayfield that I like, and there's more about Jimmy Garoppolo that I like. But, again, it's like you can't hurry love. It's, you know, it's the
you
old
just have to wait.
Thing. I can't tell you when, but I believe based on what I've seen that once he sort of erases some of his mistakes, some of the nagging mistakes he makes, I think he's going to be a really good quarterback for a long time. But in the immortal words of Bill Parcells, you don't sell insurance for that stuff.
We got to get going here pretty soon, Peter. I want to wrap up with the controversy that once again flared up after another ending on Monday Night Football where there were flags galore and questions about officiating afterwards. Ray is very defeatist on the topic, and the NFL, as far as he's concerned, doesn't even really want to improve this. I would like to think the NFL would like to improve this. How could they? Do you have a solution that could be enacted between today and the kickoff of next year that will make officiating easier?
I would say two things. Number one, get rid of the rule that was well-intentioned, but one man, Al Riveron, has taken it upon himself to reverse one of the last 25 red challenge flags by coaches on pass interference. Al Riveron essentially has decided that I am not going to reverse anything unless, in the immortal words of Donald Trump, I could shoot a man on Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. I mean, if you watched the Thursday night game last week, and you watch late in the game where Jonathan Jones of the New England Patriots absolutely mugged Golden Tate, and it was not called on the field. And then it was sent to New York. Pat Shurmur threw the challenge flag and said, oh, this is easy. We'll get this one. and they backed the ruling on the field. When I watched that play right then, I said to myself, if the next play today was an absolute carbon copy of the play in the NFC Championship game where Nickell Robey Coleman destroyed Tommy Lee Lewis about a half second before the ball showed up and it wasn't called, I guarantee you it wouldn't have been called in this game either. And so Al Riveron has taken it upon himself to play God and to say, essentially, I'm not reversing these calls anymore. That was not what the rule that wasn't the rule that was decided by 32 owners in voting 31-1 to allow coaches to challenge that and to allow New York to say, yep, that was pass interference. So I would, first of all, Nick, at the end of this year, that rule is going to die, and it should die. Okay. Secondly, I would do what the coaches voted to do in March by a 32-0 vote, and the NFL ignored them. I would put in a sky judge. I would put an eighth member of every officiating crew. Between now and then, you got to scout out 17 sky judges. Maybe some of them exist on the field right now. Maybe some of them are evaluators who are currently retired. I don't know. Maybe some of them are in college football. I don't know. But you've got to find 17 guys who can sit up there and basically be, be a check system on terrible calls on the field, like the late Trey Flowers call for hands to the face last night in the Monday night game. Those are the two things I would do. Eliminate the pass interference review process because it's just too incredibly down in the swamp, and then add an eighth official who has the power to overrule bad calls on the field during the game.
Peter, you are the best. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, one of our most interesting conversations every week. We couldn't do it without you.
Hey, really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game every Tuesday. Great stuff as always.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.